We became entrepreneurs because, more than anything, we want freedom. We want to be in control of our own schedule, income, and life. But unfortunately, that isn't always the reality of being a business owner. I'm Gillian Perkins, and I'm on a mission to take back entrepreneurship for what it's supposed to be. In every episode, I'll share with you how to get the most out of every hour you work so that you can work less and earn more. Let's get to it. Okay, here's my confession. I'm kind of a chronic goal achiever. I've started a business, grown it to multiple six figures, started and grown my YouTube channel, written a book, and just achieved so many other goals. And this is kind of how I get things done in life. And no doubt about it, achieving goals has improved my life in so many ways. But honestly, I wouldn't say that achieving any of these goals has necessarily made me any happier than I was before I tackled them or before I achieved them. And I don't think that I'm the only one who's struggled to find satisfaction in their work or even in their life. A recent survey by the NSF found that only 14% of American adults say that they are, quote, very happy. I recently read this book called The Gap and the Gain by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy, and it's about this idea that a lot of the time, the reason we are unsatisfied with our life is because we are caught in a trap of comparison. But in the book, they're not talking about comparing ourselves to others. They're talking about how we compare ourselves to our future ideal. A lot of us do this by setting goals, but even if you don't set goals at all, you still probably have an idea that maybe someday your life will somehow be better. And quite likely, you compare yourself to that future you. And when we do that, we wind up living in the gap, the difference between where we are right now and that future ideal. Now, this can lead us to feel really dissatisfied with our life today because we are living in comparison and we're seeing how we don't measure up to that future ideal. And what makes this even worse is that that future ideal is always shifting. It's always one step or 10 steps or 100 steps ahead of where we are today. We never achieve that finish line. Even if we reach our goal that we set, immediately we move that goalpost. And in some ways, this is good. It means that we are always pushing ourselves to improve and to grow as people. And that's great. But where it starts to be a negative thing is where we feel like, I said, like we never measure up. And so what the authors of The Gap and the Gain encourage us to do is to follow this principle of always measuring backwards. So always comparing ourselves to where we started and appreciating how much progress we've made. And this could be comparing ourselves to literally where we were yesterday and just seeing the progress we've made since yesterday. It also could be comparing ourselves to where we were a year ago or where we were when we literally started. So, for example, I think about with my business, where I am with it today. A lot of the time, I don't feel satisfied. I don't feel like I've achieved all that I want to achieve with it. But if I think back a few short years ago, 5, 6 years ago, when I was starting my business, if I put myself into the shoes of my past self and then look at where I am today from that place of 5 or 6 years ago, then I am so appreciative and so like humbled by how much I've achieved and so grateful for how much I have achieved. So one more thing I wanted to share with you about The Gap and the Gain book was just a quote from the book itself. And this is from page 14. It says, "When your happiness is tied to something in the future, then your present is diminished. You don't feel happy, confident, or successful. But maybe in the future you will be, or so the logic goes." So overall, the concept of The Gap and the Gain, I think, is a really powerful one. And I would highly recommend the book, The Gap and the Gain, if you haven't read it already. But here's where I got stuck. Even though this is such a great concept, and I think that reading the book was beneficial, I still found myself struggling with getting stuck in the gap over and over again, comparing myself to my future self and feeling discouraged that I just never measured up. And I didn't seem to be able to permanently shift my mindset to focusing on my progress instead of focusing on my shortcomings. I especially struggled with this when it came to goal setting. See, I want to set and achieve goals because it's an effective way to improve my life. Like, it works. But simply setting the goal seems to force me to compare myself to that future ideal and feel discouraged. I've already achieved some of my very biggest goals in life, but honestly, doing so hasn't really made me any happier. In fact, the process itself of working towards those goals has brought me far more satisfaction than the payoff at the end of any one of them. So I just want to be clear here. I'm not saying that I'm not happier than I used to be. I am. But it's not really because I've achieved the goals. It's more because I've gone through the process of working on the goals. Okay, I just got to stop here though, because this sounds honestly, I think, so stupidly cliche. Because basically what I'm saying here is just enjoy the process. Life is about the journey, not the destination. And honestly, I'm just cringing so hard right now. Seriously though, a lot of cliches are cliches because they've been repeated so many times because they're true. And I think that we've kind of collectively realized this as a culture. We've shifted away from the pursuit of happiness to at least acknowledging that the happiness of pursuit is a thing. Still though, this idea is fluffy and vague at best. And you're probably wondering, yeah, but how do you, quote, enjoy the journey? I don't know about you, but forcing myself to try to feel something never seemed to work for me. So what I did was I thought about what aspect of, quote, the journey I really found enjoyable. What was it about pursuing a goal that is so satisfying? I thought, if I could just identify that, what about it is so enjoyable, so fulfilling, so satisfying, then maybe I could lean into that aspect of it and really embrace the journey in that way. Well, after a lot of thought, here is what I've landed on. I find satisfaction in a job well done. You know, like when you try to do something, you work really hard at it, you see the work you've put into it, and then you're satisfied with your effort. Now, really, there are so many aspects of this that are enjoyable. I mean, solving problems can be fun. Exerting yourself can make you feel energized. And then, of course, when you step back and you see the work that you've put in, there's the satisfaction of what you've created. Now, that last bit might sound an awful lot like I'm getting happiness out of achieving the goal. So let me just clarify kind of the difference that I'm seeing there. I get a lot more satisfaction out of accomplishing each little step of a process than I do out of achieving the final end goal. I think this is because I'm really getting satisfaction out of my effort, not the result at all. And I'm able to much more closely connect my effort to each individual step that I complete than I am able to connect it to the final result. Let me give you an example. When it comes to creating YouTube videos, my end goals include 1, make good videos that people will enjoy watching. 2, get thousands of views. And 3, attract potential customers to my business. But in the process of creating a YouTube video, I get the most satisfaction out of a single beautiful shot or a particularly smooth edit. I also find it pretty satisfying to see how the video turns out in the end. But the part that I find the least satisfying is, without a doubt, the view count or even the number of customers that it ultimately attracts, even though those were my end goals. I think this is because those ultimate end results just feel so disconnected from the effort that I put in that even if I'm super successful, I almost don't feel like I can take credit for the success. Or if I fail to reach my goal, then I struggle to really take any practical lessons away from the failure because there were just so many variables that I don't know which one really caused the problem that led to the failure. So now that I've figured this out, I'm really trying to lean into the process of whatever I'm working on as much as possible and not worry so much about whether or not I'm ultimately successful. And I'm really finding a lot of joy just in trying to, quote, do my best, as cliche as that sounds, at everything that I need to do. Now, sure, you might get bigger results faster from doing, quote, B-grade work and not trying to make everything perfect. And I think that there are definitely situations that call for that approach. But I just know that I sure get a lot more enjoyment out of doing A-plus work. And personally, I'd rather enjoy my life more than be more successful. And just maybe that unscalable A-plus work might even ultimately lead you to the greatest success as well. As Seth Godin said, the rule is simple. The person who fails the most will win. If I fail more than you do, I will win. Because in order to keep failing, You've got to be good enough to keep playing. And I think that by trying to really do our best, again, as cliche as that sounds, by trying to do that A-plus work, that is how we become good enough to keep playing, good enough to fail over and over again. And we enjoy the process enough that we want to keep playing, even though we don't always succeed. Recently, I recorded a brand new podcast mini-series called The 100K Method. Now, this podcast series is not something that I am adding new episodes to every week. I designed it as a complete whole. It's just 10 episodes long, and it is going to teach you everything you need to know about the 100K method, which is the system that I use to generate passive income with my online courses. So in short, the 100K method is a complete automated sales funnel system. So it includes everything from how you attract customers into your business, how you warm them up, to how you ultimately close the sale. Like I said, it's a fully automated process, so you don't have to be involved with doing things like sales calls or closing people in the DMs or anything like that to sell your online course. We have installed the 100K method into hundreds of course creators' businesses at this point in all sorts of different industries and niches to sell courses on every topic under the sun. And it is crazy how consistently it works and how passively it works. So if you are looking for a new strategy for selling your online course that is both effective and also does not require you to be hands-on with the sales process, then I would love to invite you to listen to the 100K method. Like I said, it's only 10 episodes long. Of course, it's completely free. I'm going to be leaving a link to the podcast series in the description below this episode so that you can find it and listen to. You can just go through, download all the episodes, and then just binge listen to it. I know a lot of the time I have trouble with starting new podcasts because I'm not sure whether I should start with the most recent episode or the first episode or somewhere in the middle. But with this series, you're not going to have to make that decision because it will be super obvious. You should just start with episode one, listen all the way through, and then you'll know how to start selling your online course a whole lot more effectively and take it up to $100,000 a year, which is really the whole goal of the 100K method. So again, you can find the link to that series in the show notes below, or just open up whatever podcast player you like to use and search for the 100K method, and you should be able to find it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Work Less, Earn More. Now, here's what I want you to do next. Take a screenshot of this episode you're listening to right now and share it out on your Instagram stories. And when you do, make sure you tag me at Gillian Z. Perkins so I can see you're listening. Sharing on stories is going to help more people find this podcast so they too can learn how to build their business in a way that allows them to work less and earn more. And if you really love the show, head over to Apple Podcasts right now and leave Work Less, Earn More a review to give it a boost and help even more people find it. Okay, let's wrap this up. I'm Gillian Perkins, and until next week, stay focused and take action.